Practice Test 4. This is the Cambridge English C1 Business Hire, Listening Test 4. You will hear an introduction to each part of the test, and you will have time to look at the questions before you listen. You will hear each piece twice. While you are listening, you should write your answers on the question paper. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now, because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. Part one, questions 1 to 12. You will hear an organiser explaining the conference schedule to the people who are attending it. Write 1 to 3 words, or a number, in the numbered spaces on the notes or forms below. You will hear the recording twice. Now listen and complete the notes.
Hello and welcome. I'm Sally Matthews, the conference organiser. To start our event, I've got a few announcements. We've had some trouble with our email servers, and I understand that some of you didn't receive a summary of the schedule. As there have been some changes to the schedule anyway, let me begin with a quick overview of today's schedule. Before the first session, please help yourself to complimentary light refreshments and tea, coffee and water. Juice and other beverages are also available at a small charge. The first session begins at 9:30. Originally, Walter Smith from Smith Industries was due to speak. Unfortunately, Walter is out of the country temporarily. However, Janet Reynolds, CEO at Smith Industries, has stepped in. She'll be talking on the same topic, success strategies for the 21st century. After a 30-minute break from 10:30 to 11, Marissa Sharp will deliver our second talk. Marissa is a published author, and I'm sure you'll enjoy her session on new approaches to marketing. Lunch will take place from 12 until 1. For those of you who've seen the original schedule, please note the change in location. Instead of lunch being in the dining hall here in the North Building, it's now available in the cafeteria in the South Building. If you go out of the main exit over there on the left, you'll see signs directing you to that building. After lunch, there are 2 90-minute roundtable discussions for you to attend. In room 18, the discussion will focus on the effects of technology on sales, and in the room next door, the focus will be on leadership trends. Those 2 discussions are taking place concurrently, but doors will remain open, so you can easily move from one to the other as you wish. The first afternoon break is from 2:30 to 3. This will be your last chance to visit today's sponsors in the main entrance hall, and we encourage you to do so. The sponsors are already set up, so please visit them during any of the breaks. Our guest speaker, Minister John Adams, will be giving his keynote address from 3 to 4 in the main ballroom. Minister Adams is well known, and I'm sure you won't want to miss his talk about the benefits and challenges of public-private partnerships. After the keynote, we end with Ask Me Anything sessions with industry leaders from many well-known companies. As the name suggests, these brave folks have agreed to answer any questions you might have for them, within reason, of course. These sessions start at 4:15. We're still finalising exactly who will be answering your questions, and we'll post names and company information during the final break from 4 to 4:15. For those of you who are not staying overnight, we'll be running shuttle buses from the main entrance to the station and then the airport every 30 minutes, starting from 4 p.m. Taxis are also available, but I've been advised to tell you that because of the one-way system here, it's quicker and cheaper to get a cab from the south exit. You can use a ride-sharing app on your phone to arrange your own transportation too.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Hello and welcome. I'm Sally Matthews, the conference organiser. To start our event, I've got a few announcements. We've had some trouble with our email servers, and I understand that some of you didn't receive a summary of the schedule. As there have been some changes to the schedule anyway, let me begin with a quick overview of today's schedule. Before the first session, please help yourself to complimentary light refreshments and tea, coffee and water. Juice and other beverages are also available at a small charge. The first session begins at 9:30. Originally, Walter Smith from Smith Industries was due to speak. Unfortunately, Walter is out of the country temporarily. However, Janet Reynolds, CEO at Smith Industries, has stepped in. She'll be talking on the same topic, success strategies for the 21st century. After a 30-minute break from 10:30 to 11, Marissa Sharp will deliver our second talk. Marissa is a published author, and I'm sure you'll enjoy her session on new approaches to marketing. Lunch will take place from 12 until 1. For those of you who've seen the original schedule, please note the change in location. Instead of lunch being in the dining hall here in the North Building, it's now available in the cafeteria in the South Building. If you go out of the main exit over there on the left, you'll see signs directing you to that building. After lunch, there are two 90-minute roundtable discussions for you to attend. In room 18, the discussion will focus on the effects of technology on sales, and in the room next door, the focus will be on leadership trends. Those two discussions are taking place concurrently, but doors will remain open, so you can easily move from one to the other as you wish. The first afternoon break is from 2:30 to 3. This will be your last chance to visit today's sponsors in the main entrance hall, and we encourage you to do so. The sponsors are already set up, so please visit them during any of the breaks. Our guest speaker, Minister John Adams, will be giving his keynote address from 3 to 4 in the main ballroom. Minister Adams is well known, and I'm sure you won't want to miss his talk about the benefits and challenges of public-private partnerships. After the keynote, we end with Ask Me Anything sessions with industry leaders from many well-known companies. As the name suggests, these brave folks have agreed to answer any questions you might have for them, within reason, of course. These sessions start at 4:15. We're still finalising exactly who will be answering your questions, and we'll post names and company information during the final break from 4 to 4:15. For those of you who are not staying overnight, we'll be running shuttle buses from the main entrance to the station and then the airport every 30 minutes, starting from 4 p.m. Taxis are also available, but I've been advised to tell you that because of the one-way system here, it's quicker and cheaper to get a cab from the south exit. You can use a ride-sharing app on your phone to arrange your own transportation too.
That is the end of part one. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers. Part 2. Questions 13 to 22. You will hear five people talking about their reason for taking a recent business trip and a problem they experienced while on the trip. For each recording, there are two tasks. Look at task 1. For each question 13 to 17, choose the purpose of each business trip from the list A to H. Now look at task 2. For each question 18 to 22, choose the problem that each person mentions from the list A to H. Do not use any letter more than once. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 30 seconds to read the two lists.
Now listen and do the two tasks. Speaker 1.
My company was contacted by a TV station in the capital. They wanted somebody to go on a business show to talk about how the government's recent decision would affect medium-sized companies. For some reason, somebody in our head office decided I should be the face of the company, which I didn't mind. It's always fun to spend a few days in the big city, but the trip down was a little more stressful than I expected, in that when I got to the hotel, they had no record of my booking. Normally, that wouldn't be a problem, but apparently there was a conference going on and they had no spare rooms. I ended up having to take a taxi across town to a different place. Luckily, it wasn't a big deal in the end.
Speaker 2.
Our office in Madrid has been hiring a lot of new staff recently, and that's caused a few issues in that some of them weren't as familiar with our systems and policies as we would have liked. So I was asked by my boss to head over there and provide some instruction. I was delighted to go. I'd never been to Spain before, and I was looking forward to some great food and good weather. Unfortunately, there must have been some kind of miscommunication, because when I got there, nobody had been informed that I was coming. That would have been bad enough, but because of the lack of forewarning, many of the new staff I was due to work with had been assigned to urgent projects and couldn't get away. It was several days before I could get things moving.
Speaker 3. Our business has been taking off in the United States recently. I spent some time in Washington when I was younger, so my manager asked me to go back there and check out some possible premises. The trip went well, and I'm pretty sure I found a space that's going to be ideal for us. It's close to public transportation, reasonably priced, and a good size. The city has changed, but mostly in good ways, as far as I could tell. What I didn't realise was that a new airport had opened, and on my way back, I told the taxi driver the wrong name. It was only after I'd tried to check in that I realised my mistake. Luckily, I'd arrived early, which meant there was just enough time for me to get back in a taxi and get to the right place. I ended up boarding the plane just seconds before the gates closed. Speaker 4.
We recently installed a new database at our Berlin office, but the installation didn't go smoothly. I oversaw the installation of the same software at our offices in this country, so I was the natural person to go out there and help with setup. As I was getting off the plane, I dropped my bag with my laptop in, and unfortunately the bag didn't provide any protection. On one level, that wasn't a big deal. It's easy enough to borrow a laptop. The bigger issue was that I had some important files on my laptop that I needed to fix what was going on with the database installation. I'd created those files while I was on the road and hadn't backed them up yet, so I ended up having to recreate everything, which cost me a couple of days.
Speaker 5.
There's an important industry-wide conference that takes place in a different city in Europe each year. This year, my boss asked me if I would deliver some words at this year's conference in Istanbul. I was happy to do that and had always wanted to go to Turkey. Things didn't work out very well, though. I'm still not sure how, but when I got to the airport, I quickly realised that I didn't have my passport. My house is too far from the airport to have gone back to get it and still make my flight. So I ended up having to book another flight later the same day. Needless to say, my boss wasn't happy about the extra expense. Still, at least the feedback from the audience was good.
Now you will hear the recording again. Speaker 1.
My company was contacted by a TV station in the capital. They wanted somebody to go on a business show to talk about how the government's recent decision would affect medium-sized companies. For some reason, somebody in our head office decided I should be the face of the company, which I didn't mind. It's always fun to spend a few days in the big city, but the trip down was a little more stressful than I expected, in that when I got to the hotel, they had no record of my booking. Normally, that wouldn't be a problem, but apparently there was a conference going on and they had no spare rooms. I ended up having to take a taxi across town to a different place. Luckily, it wasn't a big deal in the end.
Speaker 2.
Our office in Madrid has been hiring a lot of new staff recently, and that's caused a few issues in that some of them weren't as familiar with our systems and policies as we would have liked. So I was asked by my boss to head over there and provide some instruction. I was delighted to go. I'd never been to Spain before, and I was looking forward to some great food and good weather. Unfortunately, there must have been some kind of miscommunication, because when I got there, nobody had been informed that I was coming. That would have been bad enough, but because of the lack of forewarning, many of the new staff I was due to work with had been assigned to urgent projects and couldn't get away. It was several days before I could get things moving.
Speaker 3. Our business has been taking off in the United States recently. I spent some time in Washington when I was younger, so my manager asked me to go back there and check out some possible premises. The trip went well, and I'm pretty sure I found a space that's going to be ideal for us. It's close to public transportation, reasonably priced, and a good size. The city has changed, but mostly in good ways, as far as I could tell. What I didn't realise was that a new airport had opened, and on my way back, I told the taxi driver the wrong name. It was only after I'd tried to check in that I realised my mistake. Luckily, I'd arrived early, which meant there was just enough time for me to get back in a taxi and get to the right place. I ended up boarding the plane just seconds before the gates closed. Speaker 4.
We recently installed a new database at our Berlin office, but the installation didn't go smoothly. I oversaw the installation of the same software at our offices in this country, so I was the natural person to go out there and help with setup. As I was getting off the plane, I dropped my bag with my laptop in, and unfortunately the bag didn't provide any protection. On one level, that wasn't a big deal. It's easy enough to borrow a laptop. The bigger issue was that I had some important files on my laptop that I needed to fix what was going on with the database installation. I'd created those files while I was on the road and hadn't backed them up yet, so I ended up having to recreate everything, which cost me a couple of days.
Speaker 5.
There's an important industry-wide conference that takes place in a different city in Europe each year. This year, my boss asked me if I would deliver some words at this year's conference in Istanbul. I was happy to do that and had always wanted to go to Turkey. Things didn't work out very well, though. I'm still not sure how, but when I got to the airport, I quickly realised that I didn't have my passport. My house is too far from the airport to have gone back to get it and still make my flight. So I ended up having to book another flight later the same day. Needless to say, my boss wasn't happy about the extra expense. Still, at least the feedback from the audience was good.
That is the end of part 2. Part 3. Questions 23 to 30. You will hear a meeting involving three senior staff at a small design company discussing various issues. For each question, 23 to 30, mark one letter, A, B or C, for the correct answer. You will hear the recording twice. You have 45 seconds to read through the questions. Now listen and mark A, B or C.
Okay, so I received the agenda items you both emailed me. Thanks for doing that. Why don't we start with...
Sorry to interrupt, Maria, but there's one more item I'd like to add to the agenda, if that's okay. It's nothing big.
Really? We talked about this last time and I thought I made it clear that I would like all points for discussion in advance.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to email you and Rob yesterday, but then those clients from Birmingham arrived ahead of schedule. After they'd gone, well, sending the email just slipped my mind.
Well, I guess we can discuss the new item after going through everything else on the agenda. I'll let it go this time, but please notify me of all agenda items in advance, okay?
Yes, sure.
Understood.
So let's start with you, Rob. Your first item was something about parking.
Right. As you know, the parking area at the end of the road is closed for renovations. Some people have been complaining about how hard it is to find reasonably priced parking near the office. It's not a major issue, but it's definitely causing some frustration.
Will the car park be closed for long? It hardly seems worth finding a solution if it's just a temporary thing.
From what I hear, the work is unlikely to finish before the end of the year. So this is something people are going to have to deal with for maybe 8 to 9 months.
That long? Okay, then we probably do need to discuss it. Thoughts?
How about letting people work from home from time to time? Most of the work can be done just as well at home, I'd say, provided people come into the office once or twice a week to touch base with each other.
We tried that a few years ago and it wasn't a great success.
True, but we were a lot smaller then. I think it might be different now, so I'd say it's got potential as an idea. I don't want to make a decision like that without a better sense of what it would entail, though. Catherine, could you put together some notes on this? Let me know which staff are working on something that could be done from home, how we would organise and schedule this, and so on, please?
Sure. I'll try to get it to you by Friday, okay?
Sounds good. Any other ideas?
What about trying to get people to carpool? If two or three people come into the office together, the pressure on parking spaces would be reduced and people would be sharing the cost.
I like it. Let's do it. Catherine, could you make up a poster and sign-up sheet that we could put on the notice board in the kitchen?
No problem. Is that in addition to the working from home idea or instead of?
No reason we can't do both, so please compile the notes as well, okay? Now, I see you both wanted to raise the issue of IT support. Again.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's the same old problem. IT issues are still costing us a lot of time and money that we can't easily afford.
Solutions?
Why don't we put together an FAQ folder of common problems and how to solve them? A lot of the issues that people are having are ones that other people have had before. If staff looked in the folder before asking for IT support, they might be able to fix the issue easily.
It's worth a shot, I suppose. It seems to me, though, that the underlying issue is that we allow people to use whatever hardware they're most comfortable using. That's great in terms of productivity when people first start, but because people have so many different kinds of computers and operating systems, it makes our IT support much harder than it needs to be. If we had the same computer operating system for everyone, I bet we'd have fewer IT issues.
Good idea. It would be expensive in the short term, but we might save money over the long term.
Run the numbers for me, please, Rob. Let's see if it really would be more cost-effective to do that.
Sure.
Next, I see that people are complaining about overtime. Catherine, how serious of an issue is this? Is it just one person who needs a break or is it office-wide?
It's not everybody in the office by any means, but we're all feeling the pressure a bit.
I'm not sure. I've heard a few people complaining so often about having to work late in the last few months. I think we need to bite the bullet and hire at least one more person. It may not make a huge difference, but it will show people we're listening.
I was hoping not to have to run any more job ads until the autumn, but I hear you, and I'll get on to that. I can't promise we'll find somebody immediately, but at least it will show the team that we're looking.
Why don't we ask if anyone can recommend somebody good? That way, we're not only letting them know we're looking, but we might even find somebody suitable without having to advertise.
Great suggestion. I think you've earned the right to add one more item to the agenda after all.
Like I said, it's nothing major, but the fridge in the office lunchroom is really small. People are having to cram their lunch in, and it's leading to frustration when food gets squashed. Could we replace the small fridge with a larger one?
Tell you what, if you can find a decent-sized fridge for less than 150, we'll do it, OK? Right, I think that's everything. Thanks.
Actually, one last thing. If we do get a new fridge, why not keep the old one as well? There's plenty of space in the lunchroom and it seems a waste otherwise.
Fair enough. That makes sense. Thank you both.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Okay, so I received the agenda items you both emailed me. Thanks for doing that. Why don't we start with...
Sorry to interrupt, Maria, but there's one more item I'd like to add to the agenda, if that's okay. It's nothing big.
Really? We talked about this last time, and I thought I made it clear that I would like all points for discussion in advance.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to email you and Rob yesterday, but then those clients from Birmingham arrived ahead of schedule. After they'd gone, well, sending the email just slipped my mind.
Well, I guess we can discuss the new item after going through everything else on the agenda. I'll let it go this time, but please notify me of all agenda items in advance, okay?
Yes, sure.
Understood.
So let's start with you, Rob. Your first item was something about parking.
Right. As you know, the parking area at the end of the road is closed for renovations. Some people have been complaining about how hard it is to find reasonably priced parking near the office. It's not a major issue, but it's definitely causing some frustration.
Will the car park be closed for long? It hardly seems worth finding a solution if it's just a temporary thing.
From what I hear, the work is unlikely to finish before the end of the year. So this is something people are going to have to deal with for maybe 8 to 9 months.
That long? Okay, then we probably do need to discuss it. Thoughts?
How about letting people work from home from time to time? Most of the work can be done just as well at home, I'd say, provided people come into the office once or twice a week to touch base with each other.
We tried that a few years ago and it wasn't a great success.
True, but we were a lot smaller then. I think it might be different now, so I'd say it's got potential as an idea. I don't want to make a decision like that without a better sense of what it would entail, though. Catherine, could you put together some notes on this? Let me know which staff are working on something that could be done from home, how we would organise and schedule this, and so on. Please?
Sure. I'll try to get it to you by Friday, OK?
Sounds good. Any other ideas?
What about trying to get people to carpool? If 2 or 3 people come into the office together, the pressure on parking spaces would be reduced and people would be sharing the cost.
I like it. Let's do it. Catherine, could you make up a poster and sign-up sheet that we could put on the notice board in the kitchen?
No problem. Is that in addition to the working from home idea or instead of?
No reason we can't do both. So please compile the notes as well, OK? Now, I see you both wanted to raise the issue of IT support. Again.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's the same old problem. IT issues are still costing us a lot of time and money that we can't easily afford.
Solutions?
Why don't we put together an FAQ folder of common problems and how to solve them? A lot of the issues that people are having are ones that other people have had before. If staff looked in the folder before asking for IT support, they might be able to fix the issue easily.
It's worth a shot, I suppose. It seems to me, though, that the underlying issue is that we allow people to use whatever hardware they're most comfortable using. That's great in terms of productivity when people first start, but because people have so many different kinds of computers and operating systems, it makes our IT support much harder than it needs to be. If we had the same computer operating system for everyone, I bet we'd have fewer IT issues.
Good idea. It would be expensive in the short term, but we might save money over the long term.
Run the numbers for me, please, Rob. Let's see if it really would be more cost-effective to do that.
Sure.
Next, I see that people are complaining about overtime. Catherine, how serious of an issue is this? Is it just one person who needs a break or is it office-wide?
It's not everybody in the office by any means, but we're all feeling the pressure a bit.
I'm not sure. I've heard a few people complaining so often about having to work late in the last few months. I think we need to bite the bullet and hire at least one more person. It may not make a huge difference, but it will show people we're listening.
I was hoping not to have to run any more job ads until the autumn, but I hear you, and I'll get on to that. I can't promise we'll find somebody immediately, but at least it will show the team that we're looking.
Why don't we ask if anyone can recommend somebody good? That way, we're not only letting them know we're looking, but we might even find somebody suitable without having to advertise.
Great suggestion. I think you've earned the right to add one more item to the agenda after all.
Like I said, it's nothing major, but the fridge in the office lunchroom is really small. People are having to cram their lunch in, and it's leading to frustration when food gets squashed. Could we replace the small fridge with a larger one?
Tell you what, if you can find a decent-sized fridge for less than 150, we'll do it, OK? Right, I think that's everything. Thanks.
Actually, one last thing. If we do get a new fridge, why not keep the old one as well? There's plenty of space in the lunchroom and it seems a waste otherwise.
Fair enough. That makes sense. Thank you both.
Thanks. That is the end of Test 4.